Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Thursday, April 4th, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, we've got some news on gavel changes in the House, plus timing for when they come back from the two-week recess. Number two, a Havana Syndrome hearing is on the books. And number three, the House Republican debate over supporting Representative Bob Good. All right, Jake, let's get into it. We are leading the top of Punchbowl News AM with a look at the changes in kind of who's going to lead certain committees, but in particular, the fact that House Republican leadership wants to install retiring Representative Michael Burgess, the Republican from Texas, as the chair of the House Rules Committee for the rest of this Congress. Of course, this comes up because Tom Cole, the current chair, is expected to be tapped as the next chair of the House Appropriations Committee during a GOP steering committee meeting on April 9th. What say you on the Burgess strategy?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we floated this a couple weeks ago, might have actually been a couple months ago. I lose track of time. It makes sense. I mean, the other option here is Guy Reschenthaler. Reschenthaler is the number, is a very involved in the Rules Committee. He will, I think he will eventually be the chair of the Rules Committee. But Burgess is retiring, so this makes a lot of sense. And also remember, Reschenthaler is the chief deputy whip. So he is the number two whip to Tom Emmer. And I have to imagine, I don't have to imagine, I know they want to keep him in that position and not have him, not pull him away from being the chief deputy whip. So it makes a lot of sense. Burgess is...
It's important too, in so much as this is an appointed position that the speaker gets to, kind of tap. And this is going to be a difficult couple of months with the numbers that they have and the makeup of the, the Rules Committee in particular, right?
Yeah. And also remember, the Rules Committee isn't doing much. The leadership really can't bring anything to the floor under a rule right now because they don't have any ability to do so. They can't get things through the Rules Committee. So the Rules Committee is especially useless right now. Between Chip Roy, Tom Massey, and Ralph Norman on the Rules Committee, the leadership can't push anything through rules. So it is more of a figurehead than ever before, the Rules Committee. And remember, Reschenthaler as chief deputy whip follows in a long line of ambitious and ultimately successful lawmakers who have been chief deputy whip: Roy Blunt, Eric Cantor, Kevin McCarthy, Patrick McHenry, and Denny Hastert all served as chief deputy whip. Obviously, Hastert had some other issues, but all of them became higher up in leadership. McCarthy, Hastert, and I guess McHenry ultimately became speaker. Not directly from the chief deputy whip role, but it's an important role. It keeps you very close to lawmakers. So I understand why they want to keep him in that role.
All right, let's move on to kind of what we've been talking a lot this week is what's going to happen on floor action, on certain bills in particular, the Ukraine aid bill. We've gone into a lot of detail this week about the different strategy that Speaker Mike Johnson is considering as he tries to move that package. But interestingly enough, it looks like leadership intends to move a FISA extension before putting any foreign aid package on the floor, according to multiple sources familiar with GOP plans. Just a reminder, FISA expires on April 19th. Interesting because they've not been able to come to an agreement between the House Judiciary and Intelligence panels over how to handle that controversial Section 702.
Yeah, listen, will be one of the big issues when they get back. So I imagine they really want to get FISA done ASAP. They have to get FISA done ASAP because it is expiring. And then they'll move to Ukraine. There is a chance they'll move Ukraine next week, the latter half of next week, although it seems quite remote, to be honest with you. So the order of operations here, as long as they can get a FISA deal, which I think they'll eventually be able to get a FISA deal, they'll do FISA and then they'll do Ukraine. That will dominate much of April, those two items, before we move to May And remember, also in the mix is, and by the way, Ukraine could take a while, but also in the mix is this supplemental for Baltimore, which, as we reported earlier this week, the administration seems to want to come to a decision on ASAP. The president is heading to Baltimore on Friday to visit the scene of the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge.
All right, let's run the number two story of the morning, Jake. House Intel is now planning to hear from a Havana Syndrome victim amid the new probe. Our very own Andrew Desiderio has been covering this for a while. A U.S. government official inflicted with the mysterious illness is slated to appear before the House Intel Committee in a classified setting as soon as next month. The official, who we are not naming, has been providing classified information to committee investigators about the potential causes of what the U.S. government formally calls anomalous health incidents. This has kind of been revived after this 60 Minutes-led investigation.
Yeah, the Intel Committee is going to talk privately, not in a public setting, with somebody who has the Havana syndrome. This is, to be honest with you, one of the big mysteries of the day is what is causing this syndrome. Officially, the Intelligence Committee said it's a violation of the panel and House rules to comment, confirm, or deny anything related to the identity of whistleblowers. We're not obviously doing that, but this is something the Intel Committee is going to be very involved in. It's actually squarely in the realm. This is an example of Congress actually investigating something that they should investigate when it comes to this this bizarre condition that people get from what 60 Minutes said. It's a Russian military intelligence unit using theoretically high energy equipment to inflict this syndrome on people abroad.
All right, let's move on to the number three story of the morning. Max Cohen has a very interesting item on the top. Main Street Republicans miffed by growing support for Representative Bob Good's challenger. It's an interesting conundrum when the political arm of the center-right Main Street caucus endorsed Representative Bob Good's, the Republican from Virginia's challenger last month. It raised some eyebrows on Capitol Hill. While the chair of the House Freedom Caucus is far from beloved among many pragmatic GOP types, Good's opponent, MAGA State Senator John McGuire, doesn't fit your typical governing conservative brand favored by Main Street. This is an interesting kind of drama, back behind the scenes kind of drama, as the Main Street Republicans have grown in size as well as power, not only on Capitol Hill, but through their kind of separate, independently operated group, the Defending Main Street PAC, getting involved in this race.
Yeah, they are not involved, as they say, with the outside group. I mean, listen, it doesn't matter what John McGuire does. They just want to knock out Bob Good, and Bob Good does have a very vibrant challenger, let's say. Our friend Manu Raju at CNN was down there, I think this week, a piece ran this week, a very good piece on TV about that race between McGuire and Bob Good. Good, obviously, the chairman of the Freedom Caucus. And somebody, by the way, Anna, that CLF dragged across the finish line in his primary a couple years ago when he first came to Congress. So, and the Freedom Caucus, in addition, members of the Freedom Caucus and members of the hardline right have gotten involved in primaries against sitting members a bunch, or at least a couple times this Congress. So it's not unusual. It's not something that is unheard of. Good says that that they should come down and vote for and campaign for McGuire because that would help him anyway. So this is another chapter in the primary battles on Capitol Hill for House Republicans.
With that, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. If you like the Daily Punch, go to our show notes. We are up for a Webby Award. You can click on the link there and please vote for the Daily Punch. We would appreciate it. As always, thanks so much for listening. Please tell your friends about the Daily Punch. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. You can also subscribe to our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.